We've been walking through our foundation series as a church, and we started with the Word of God, that it should be important in our lives. We should be people of the Word. We talked about prayer, that prayer causes things. We should be people that speak, that have a relationship with Almighty God in prayer. We've talked about the importance of marriage. We've talked about the importance of small groups, and today we talk about the importance of being a servant. The message today is called The Towel. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that the hour had come that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and he girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel with which he was girded. I'm going to skip down to verses 12. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garment, sat down, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." I'll get to 16 and 17 in a few moments. So this is where I begin the service by saying to one person in this, which I purposely did not choose, someone that wouldn't normally choose, who would let me this morning wash your feet? Somebody, you need to volunteer. We'll be here a long time if it doesn't happen. All right, come on, man. It's awesome. Could you grab your chair? Just as we had leaders around the babies, could we have some of those leaders just gather around Gio? Gotta take off your socks too, man. That'd be pretty bad. Would y'all come? No corona on the feet, no worries. Go ahead and put your feet in. This illustration will speak life for years to come, God. We thank you for that, God. Father, I pray for Gio. I pray for his life. I pray for what you're doing in him. Father, I thank you for his talents and his gifts, his natural physical ones, but also all that you have on the inside of him, God. Father, would you use that for your kingdom, God? Would you show him, would you wake him up in the middle of the night and show him how you are using him to influence young people for you, God? How you want to use those gifts to serve you, Father. Father, as he's in high school, as he's in college, God, show him what that looks like. Surround him around men that are lovers of you, God. Surround him around men that are willing to speak life and truth and be bold into his life, God. Do a work. I know I believe he's going to camp again this summer. God, do a work there. Continue to mold him. Use him everywhere he goes. In Jesus' name, amen.
I just feel like his boldness to volunteer was just a really, in the spiritual realm, just a picture of his boldness to stand up for the Lord. Maybe that he hasn't had before, that is being poured on him right now.
Today to be an example of the serve people in Jesus' name. Amen.
In the book of John, it relates, it speaks of when Jesus called out Levi, which is Matthew. And he said he was sitting at the table getting the tax collections. And when Jesus stood near, he said he looked and pondered upon him. He didn't rush to him. And when he went to him, he said, follow me. And the scripture is very specific. It says he left everything, got up, and followed him. But not only did he do that, he went home and made a banquet for the Lord. And traditionally, that's where the washing of the feet would happen. You prepare a banquet for your Lord. And the scripture says that he didn't do it alone or in secret. He did it, and he invited everybody that he knew. Now, the Pharisees and the teachers were judging Jesus' actions because now he's sitting with this tax collector, eating. And the scripture says that Jesus responded to the Pharisees that were asking his disciples, why is your master eating with these people? And he said, because I came for the sick. The doctor comes for the sick, not for those that are well. And this morning, we just pray that as Matthew did, Levi, he raised from the position that he was and followed his master. And I pray in the name of Jesus, Gio, that today you were led by God. It wasn't just an activity because there was some time here for anybody to want to do it for fun. But this is not a fun time. These are precise moments in God's calendar over your life, over your future. You were born for greatness, son. You will be in this world. You will not be of this world. And God will use you mighty, even in your weaknesses, so that you know it is by grace, not by your power, but it is by his power. In the name of Jesus, I pray that your realm of influence will expand and extend around all those that are around you. And as Levi did, the scripture is very clear. He said he left it all. You will be courageous in your walking. You will make decisions in abandoning everything, yourself, your desires, because what he has is greater. Now, this is one of the 12, the greatest and the mighty men of God. So if you choose God completely and surrender and in total abandonment, he will never fail you. He will not put you to shame, and he will never abandon you. We bless you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we also release a special blessing over Pastor Lee this morning. I have never seen many men do this. A lot of ministers will rise up to be exalted, but humbling himself to wash the feet of the young ones. Lord, we just pray that this anointing and this humbling of the heart will expand over the body like never before, Lord. And this movement, I've been praying, Lord, what is it? What does it look like? Because we don't look any special. We don't look anything different than everybody else. But Lord, it starts in your heart and in this moment. A heart of serving. The greatest will serve the young ones. And it'll be you moving in our favor, Lord, in this place. Continue, Lord, to honor Lee and his family as they have surrendered their life completely for your service. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And if you all agree with me and the Lord.
Thank you. Amen. Y'all can give him a hand clap. Right. Woo! That was good. To have the heart of a servant is the foundation of what God has called us to be. The night before Jesus betrayed was a night like no other for the disciples. This was a night that Jesus' ministry on earth, this was the last night before he would be crucified, before he would unleash the victory over death for all of mankind. He spent 3 years preparing his disciples, and this was the test. Everything that he had poured into them, this was the moment. It was a night that his disciples should have worshipped him. It was a night that his disciples should have washed his feet. And yet, it was the opposite. He washed their feet. His last equipping message, his last example that he would teach, his last teaching moment was perhaps his greatest lesson of all times. In a few hours, he would live this example of being a servant out. He would die on a cross for all of humanity. Jesus used this moment as his core message. His garment, much like our dress today, represented who he was. Is there a picture? It represented who he was. When people saw him, they knew he wasn't a Greek. They knew he was a Jew. They knew he wasn't a wealthy man. They knew he was the average man. Kind of like if you walked today, if he was living today, he would probably get dressed something in Katie Mills Mall. He would probably have some Ross clothes on or some, I don't know, Gap clothes on. Maybe a little bit of Target here and there. I don't know, but he would look just like us. When we see a policeman, we know exactly who they are and the position they have because of what they wear. Jesus' clothes represented who he was, and yet Jesus removed these garments. He removed everything that physically defined him as who he was, and in that moment, he became simply just a servant. And he took the servant's tool, a towel, and he washed their feet. God, in the form of Jesus, chose a towel. He took the form of a servant. He chose his very last moment on earth before he would be crucified to teach his most powerful tool, his mentoring moment, his huddle together with his disciples, modeled servanthood. He should have received ministry, and yet he gave it away. Think about this, that the most, we often remember the last moments we have with a loved one. Probably most of you in this room can close your eyes and remember the last moments you spent with a loved one. Maybe the last words that were spoken. I want to tell you a story of a young man named Matthew. He was in the first church that I planted, not the first church that I pastored, but the first church that I planted. He was 22 years old. He had cystic fibrosis. He was dying. He was in the hospital at Baylor Hospital in Dallas, Texas. His family had been called, and they said he has a matter of minutes, if not hours, to live. They had called about 10 of his family, his brothers, his sisters, and the aunts and uncles to be in this room together with him. 2 weeks before that, he told his dad, "Dad, I had a vision, and Jesus showed up. And Jesus told me I'm going home soon." And he turned to his dad and he said, "Dad, I'm ready to go." And now I come into this hospital room and I'm in with this 10 adults that have walked with him throughout his life. Always a little awkward moment as a pastor because you want to make sure you say the right words. It's a very difficult moment in their life. And mom was laying in bed stroking Matthew's hair as he's breathing. As his breathing's beginning to slow. And everybody's just standing there, and all of a sudden, mom begins to sing a song, and I don't remember what hymn it was, but it was a hymn. And the group of 10 around them begin to sing just very quietly, and they know his last moments are at any time. And as they are praying that prayer, I watched Matthew breathe his last breath. But this is what happened. I kid you not. I felt the presence of God. I mean, physically, tangibly. I didn't see him. I literally felt the presence of God go into that room and snatch his spirit, and you could feel him going away. It was amazing. I was saddened for mom and dad and the children that were there, and they began to weep quietly because he breathed his last, and they were obviously mourning, realizing this is really the final moment, and they were sad. But I remember shortly after, you know, hugging a neck or two, and I remember going to the car and getting in that car and driving away, and I remember beginning to shout at Jesus. I remember beginning to laugh. I was having such a Holy Spirit moment that I had just witnessed, not death, but I had just witnessed something that was so powerful that I saw the presence of God come into a room and remind us that this is not the end. I'm sure people on the freeway probably called 911. There's a guy freaking out in his car, you know, because I was animated and crying and laughing. I was having such a revival moment in my life. I tell you that Matthew's last moments reminded me, and this was over 20 years ago. To this day, it was one of the most impactful moments that I had with God, to see how powerful God was in that moment. His last moments touched my life. His last moments was such a teaching moment for me. Now you hear in this text, Jesus would use his last moments to speak to his disciples, and he would use it to wash their feet because he wanted to teach them something that was at the core of his ministry and who he was. He wanted to visually demonstrate his heartbeat, that his whole reason that he lived and that he died was to serve mankind, was to bridge a relationship between Father God and humanity that was broken because of our sins. And in verse 16, Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is no greater than his master. Nor is he who has sent greater than he who sent him," saying, "What I have just showed you, you are not greater than me. If you know these things, happy are you who do them." Jesus' last moment before his crucifixion, he used a towel. Why a towel? Number one, because it defined humility. It's the opposite of pride, humility. I once went to a church in Belize City, and it was a church that met upstairs in a building, and probably the building probably held maybe 75 people. At this time, the church was made up of about 20 people, and I met them all. I probably met 10 out of the 20 members. It wasn't on a Sunday, and they all had titles. Here, let me meet you this. This is presiding elder Bishop so-and-so, and this is Bishop so-and-so, and this is Reverend so-and-so. And so, I mean, out of the 10 I met, they all had these great, wonderful titles. And I'm like, dude, we all have these great, huge titles, but where's all the people? Too often we look for titles. We have our Christian shirts, our crosses, our necklaces, our bumper stickers. We have all our titles, but the question is, do we live it out on a daily basis? Is it a Sunday morning date we have with Jesus and then we get to live like the world on Monday? Are we married to him? We wake up every morning with him. I have a friend on Facebook, and this is what he said. This was around Christmas time that he said it. If we really want to put Christ back in the Christmas, we might start by putting Christ back in the Christians. Ouch. Pretty powerful statement. Humility was demonstrated by Jesus in the form of a towel. This morning, can we check our hearts? How are our words? How are our actions? Are they based upon pride? That I'm right and you're wrong? Are they based upon servanthood and humility and love? You could have the greatest anointing in the world. You could have the greatest giftings in the world. But if you don't have love and if you don't know how to serve people, it is useless. In fact, 1 Corinthians 13:1 puts it this way. Though I speak with tongues and of men and of angels, meaning, and though I have the highest of anointings, but I have not love, I am becoming a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. Because love is an action. It is not something we talk about in church. It is an action that we wake up in the morning and we love our spouse in such a way that Jesus loves them. Without it, you just become a clanging cymbal. I think too often the church has become a clanging cymbal. When the world sees us, they see hate. They see titles and arrogance when they should see love. Now, I'm not saying anyone is perfect. I definitely am not. But I'm saying I want to be like Jesus. Our journey is to be like Jesus, to learn like Jesus, because leadership in the body of Christ, and truly the real definition of leadership, is about serving people. It's about serving our families. It's about at work serving people. It's about serving the lost. It's about serving the needy. It's about serving our neighbor. Why the towel? Because it's a symbol of humility, the role of a servant. Number two, and I only have 2 points. Why the towel? Because it looks like Jesus. Because serving others helps us to fulfill Jesus' purpose for our lives. Galatians 5:13 says, through love, serve one another. Mark 10:45 says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. We cannot fully honor the Lord unless we learn to serve people. When we close our eyes to people, we close our eyes to the very heart of God, because the whole purpose of Jesus coming to this earth was because he deeply loved people. He wanted a relationship back with people. And if we fail as the body of Christ of learning to love people, then we fail to properly love God and fulfill what he's called us to do. Interesting point. God doesn't want us to be a church full of good moral people. We don't want to isolate ourselves. If that was all that God wanted, then we should pack our bags and go and move onto some deserted island somewhere out in the middle of nowhere and just live our lives in solitude all by ourselves. If all God wants us to do is live moral lives, that's not. Now, God does want us to live moral lives. I'm not saying he doesn't. But God has a purpose for your lives to do more than just be a nice moral Christian. He has a purpose for your lives to affect and infect everybody around with the love of Jesus. We best win people when we serve them well. People take notice of our walk with Jesus when we serve them well. Because serving makes us more like Jesus. Moms and dads, do you remember when your child, probably it's happened in most families, you can't find your child and all of a sudden they come out of your bedroom with your shoes on. I think there's a picture of it up there. And they come up and they're so proud because they know they're daddy's shoes and they got on daddy's shoes and they're walking out and they're clumsy and they're probably falling over and they look at you and they just look and they kind of laugh and they look down and they say, daddy's shoes. Why do they want to put on daddy's shoes? Because daddy's their hero. They want to put on daddy's shoes. We as the body of Christ, as sons and children and sons and daughters of God, we want to put on daddy's shoes. We want to live in the attributes of Jesus. Now, I told you there was a word about Avia and the word daddy's. When Joshua, who I believe will be here maybe next Sunday, 2 weeks from now, when he was 2 years old, his word for me, he couldn't say daddy yet, but he said daddy's. Here's the interesting thing. Do you know what he called Jesus? He called Jesus daddy's. Me and Jesus had the same name. Now trust me, I know I'm not Jesus. But to a 2-year-old child, I was the closest thing to Jesus he had ever seen. And he wanted to be like daddy's. May we desire, how appropriate on the day that we dedicate babies, that we want our children to follow daddy's. And our example as moms and dads and believers that are in the body of Christ should be an example that when they see me, Our desire is that they see Jesus. We want them to see Jesus. Why a towel? Because it looks a whole lot like Jesus. Now, this definitely doesn't happen all the time. I've probably told this story before, but Robin and I, when Joshua was little, we only had Josh, we were living in Youngstown. We were living in a township called Liberty Township outside of Youngstown, Ohio. Anybody ever heard Youngstown, Ohio? Let me say, anybody ever lived in Youngstown, Ohio? Bless God that you never lived there. A crazy place. Ted Koppel one time called it the most corrupt city in the United States. I can tell you some stories. Lived there for 4 years. And one time we're walking down Northside Hospital. Josh was born at Northside Hospital. And we're going to visit somebody. I don't know. Robin was probably 20 years old. I was probably 22 or 23. Young as can be. And we're on our walking. And this lady stops us. I mean, we're just walking past her. And she goes, stop. And we're like, well, okay, yes. Yes, ma'am. How could I help you? And she goes, y'all love Jesus, don't y'all? And we're like, well, yes, we do. In fact, we're the pastors of New Life Christian Fellowship right down the road. And she goes, I just saw Jesus all over y'all. Man, how we walked higher than ever before. I know I'm short, but that day I was 6 foot tall. Man, because somebody saw Jesus all over me. Isn't that our desire? When we walk into a room, when we see an opportunity, let them see Jesus all over us. How do we serve like Jesus? I want to give you five quick points. I know what I mean quick. It'll take 30 seconds. First and foremost, serve your family. Serve your family. Moms, dads, go order the book on eBay, Love Dare. It's just a good book to remind you, focus on yourself. There's actually a Love Dare. It says the Love Dare for parents. Probably a pretty good book. Just learn how we love our kids. First and foremost, we serve our family. Number two, pray about ways you serve your neighbors. Number three, serve people by thinking the best of them rather than the worst. We all get into places where we think the worst of our people, right? Or we think the best. Number four, serve them but not easily being offended by them. It's easy to get offended by people, right? I get offended on the phone all the time. Serve them by not easily being offended. Everybody's having a bad day sometimes. I told you it'd take 30 seconds, can take just 1 minute longer than that. I was talking to somebody, I don't know who it was this week, about it. I think one time, anybody ever have just a quiet day where, if you're like me, I'm like an extrovert, I'm always talking, and then some days I'm not really mad, nothing really happened, I'm just kind of having an introverted day. Anybody like that? And on those introverted days, I just want to be left alone. And Robin and I, you know, Robin sees me and she's like, what's wrong with you today? You know, you're kind of quiet. Nothing's wrong with me. A little bit later, hey, what's wrong? You know, you okay? You're acting all weird. I'm okay. I'm fine. A little bit later, for real, something's wrong. You mad at me? You know, about an hour later, are you sure you're not mad? No, I'm not mad at you. Yes, I'm mad at you now. And then it's an all-out fight. And the journey with marriage is to learn to hold those emotions, because I wasn't mad at her. I was just kind of having a sad day. Not really even sad. I don't know. Just an emotional day. Can we learn to put our emotions in check and learn to love the people around us in such a way that they see Jesus all over us? And lastly, serve people in very simple and tangible gestures. You don't have to go out and buy, I don't know, pay for all their medical bills for the next 5 years. Find simple, tangible ways to love people. small gestures to express Jesus' love. When people see us, we want them to see Jesus. Serving others makes us more like Jesus and helps us to fulfill His purpose. Would you stand with me this morning?